line on.
This famous quotation was spoken into an Edison cylinder phonograph by Theodore Roosevelt over 50 years ago. How do I know? Well, I recorded it when I was 12 years old at Mr. Roosevelt's home, Sagamore Hill, Oyster Bay, Long Island. My name is Bob Vincent. I'm curator of the National Voice Library at Michigan State University in East Lansing, Michigan. And I'd like to tell you my Teddy Roosevelt story. He was the most dynamic personality I ever met, and the passage of decades have not dimmed my affection and admiration for him. I was first introduced to Colonel Roosevelt by Mr. Hamilton Wright Mabee, associate editor of The Outlook, a public affairs weekly of which Theodore Roosevelt was contributing editor. He wanted Teddy to see a copy of an amateur boys magazine, which I was then publishing after school. As I stood there at the Outlook office, waiting for the great man, I was thinking of the recent huge welcoming parade up Fifth Avenue in New York, when Teddy returned from his safari in Africa and his triumphant tour through Europe. What would he be like? All of a sudden, there he was, beaming at me, showing his teeth. He seemed so huge to a boy of my size. Teddy grasped my small hand with his large one, looked at the latest copy of the boy's paper, and made this remark. "That's just bully, Robbie. You and I are the two greatest editors in the United States." Colonel Roosevelt continued, "If there's anything that I can do for you, just let me know." Even though I was terribly awed and also a bit scared, this was too much of an opportunity to let pass. So I said, "Colonel, you can do something for me right now. I'd like you to write a special article for my magazine, but don't make it too long." I'd heard that Teddy was getting $2 a word for his writing, and I didn't want to take any chances in case he sent me a bill. Anyhow, the meeting was a success. Teddy wrote a message to the American boys and sent it to me. It was not too long. But what thrilled me particularly was receiving an invitation to visit the Roosevelts at their home, Sagamore Hill, which had been the summer White House and where Teddy kept so many of his trophies. That visit was a high spot in my life. Well, it was during the hectic days of the three-cornered presidential campaign of 1912 that some members of a boys' club said to me, "You are Teddy Roosevelt's friend. Invite him to speak at the next meeting of our club. He may do it if you ask him." Now, this was a direct challenge to me. So after much planning, four of us, all future voters, drove out to Oyster Bay in a Model T Ford. To get an audience with Colonel Roosevelt was no easy matter. It required the aid of newspaper correspondents and some of the Roosevelt kids. Finally, Teddy came downstairs to meet us and listen to our request. "Robert," he said regretfully, "I'm awfully sorry, but I have three other speaking engagements for that evening." But I came right up with a suggestion. "Colonel, we thought something like that might be the case, so we brought with us an Edison cylinder phonograph. All you have to do is speak into it right here, and we'll reproduce your voice at the meeting." Teddy seemed momentarily cornered. "I seldom speak into a phonograph," he said. "It's somewhat against my principles." But when he saw our disappointment, he added, pointing a finger at me, "But in your case, I'll make an exception." Wonderful. We set up the recorder, and Teddy ad-libbed the little message which you are now about to hear.
"In this way, I desire to greet the boys progressively at their meeting at the Hotel Manhattan. I feel that the Progressive Party should appeal peculiarly to the young men and therefore to the boys who are to be the next generation of voters. The principles for which we stand are the principles of fair play and a square deal for every man and every woman in the United States. A square deal politically, a square deal in matters social and industrial. I wish to see you boys join the Progressive Party and act in that party and as good citizens in the same way I'd expect any one of you to act in a football game. In other words, don't flinch, don't foul, and hit the line hard.